Thank you for joining us. Get ready to be challenged as Pastor Stephen Sexton shares the word of truth. We pray that this message will activate your God-given potential as you are elevated to new heights by this motivational word.
Luke chapter 10, verse 19 says this, "And I have given you authority to trample over snakes, scorpions, and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you." Turn to someone and say, "Nothing will harm you." Come on, get involved. Nothing will harm you. I feel good about nothing will harm you. I feel good about that. I don't know about you, but I'll tell you, many Christians would like to be described as overcomers. People who win in life. And while it's true, accepting Christ as our Lord and Savior redeems us, which automatically thrusts us into an overcoming status, many can fall short of living an overcoming life. Church, for us to move forward, we must actually overcome those weak areas that would hold us back from God's best. And we all have those. We don't need nobody to tell us what they are. These areas that prove that our flesh is still alive and well. But I want you to know that as a believer, you've been given everything that you need to win. You've been given everything you need to win. The Word says that we serve a Savior that's overcome the world. Now, I don't know about you, but I like winning. I love winning. And I like to be on a team that wins. You read Revelations, God wins. Last week, I got to tell you, me and my son went to the Cowboy game. The first half, I was a winner. Me and my son were winners. We were excited. We were having fun. It was great. I mean, we were there in the stadium. First half, we were up by 20 points on the Lions, 23 points, and Chris and Isaiah went with us, and I'm just telling you, we were gloating. Me and my son, we were doing the dance. We were like, "What's up?" And I mean, both Chris and Isaiah, they didn't want us to touch them. They didn't want us to talk to them. I would stand up and we had Cowboy fans everywhere. So I'd stand up and everybody give a high five, and I'd go to Chris, and he'd just look at me. And I was feeling good. First half. Son, let me preach. All right. And so, the second half got there and wasn't feeling so good. Yeah, they were up yelling and screaming and high-fiving, and I was pouting. And my son was like, "Dad, it'll be okay." And I didn't want to hear it. And you know what? If you're going to win at any part of the game, it's the second half you want to win. It's towards when the game is over that you want to be ahead. And I'll tell you this, we're not a defeated foe. We're not defeated. And in life, sometimes we get to the place where we feel really defeated, really discouraged, and we lose hope. But what I want to tell you today is that I want to speak life into your spirit. You are on a winning team. God wins. And I want to quicken your spirit and quicken a resolve in your life to fight for more, to fight. We're just a few months away from 2011 being in the books. And for us to turn around and for us to see what really happened in 2011. We've been talking all this year about moving forward and growing. And guess what I want to ask you is that a catchy slogan? Or have we really moved forward? Have we been a church that we took a step this year? And when we look over and January 1st rolls by and we overlook 2011, will we be people who actually took a step, or will we be people who talked about taking a step? Because you know what? We all know talkers. You know, they went out to catch the fish, and it was this big, but really it was that big. The event that happened in life was, oh, you would have never believed it. It was so, really, it was small. And we love talking, Because talking makes us feel like we're doing something. Talking makes us feel good. Talking gets a cheer. You know what? We talk about today is the day that I'm going to start this diet. And I'm going to do something. That 10 pounds is going off. And we talk about it. And we talk to our friends about it. And we get our little club together. And we find internet websites. And we talk about these things. But at the end of the year, did the LBs come off? We talk about getting organized. We're going to get organized. That's it. I am done. We are going to get organized. There will never be another time in my life that I cannot find my keys. There will never be another time in my life that I don't know where my phone is. This day is the day. I'm getting organized. I'm done. Did we talk about it or did we do it? And what I want us to see is this. For us to move forward, there are going to be areas of our life that we are going to have to fight and we're going to have to battle. And today, let's target those thoughts, distractions, indulgences, areas that the enemy would come to attack us with. And let's make a decision not to allow anything to steal our victories. What steals your victories? Is it joy? What steals your joy? What steals your peace? What steals the home life that puts it all in turmoil and everybody's upset or busy? Or what steals that stuff from our life? Because the fact of the matter is, if we're going to move into more, then we're going to fight a very real enemy. And more is just not coming to you. You're not going to be whistling Dixie and the bluebird's on your shoulder and everything's happy and go lucky. And the enemy's just like, yeah, you wanted more? What? You want to break all this stuff off your life? You want to live a bondage-free life? You want to be totally free? You want to actually never be in debt again? You mean you want to get along with your spouse? You mean you don't want to yell and scream? Sure, do it! There's a fight for more. There's a fight that we're going to have to engage in if we really want more to come. And my assignment today is target the real enemy. Target the real enemy. A few years ago, I got a shotgun, and I did some shooting, and skeet shooting, and it was fun. I learned a few prerequisites for actually hitting your skeet, things I needed to know. The first one, I tell you, is I learned how to sight a gun so that I could actually hit what it is I was trying to aim for. You know what I'm saying? If your sights are off, it's really hard to even actually hit something. You're just kind of shooting at something, which is exciting in and of itself, but it's not really what is going to actually shoot and kill or destroy the clay pigeon. But the next thing I learned is which eye to close. Because, you know, you have a dominant eye, and so if you close the wrong eye, you're just a little off on what you're actually shooting. Another thing I learned is how to lead my shot just a little bit, because if you actually shoot right on it, by the time your shot or your ammo or your bullet or whatever gets there, you've missed it. And so I lead it a little bit, and then they intersect, and it's a whole lot more positive experience when you actually hit something. It was fun to hit these skeet. I liked it. I enjoyed it, but it was a little frustrating too, I ain't gonna lie. These clay pigeons, boy, they move fast. They do. You say pull, and they pull. And you know, when I always said pull, I wasn't really ready for them to pull. I was like, pull, wait 5 seconds, get me ready, then I shoot. But every time I said pull, they actually pulled them, and then that shot, and I was like, whoa, and trying to find actually what I was shooting at. You know, if you're not ready in life, you will miss the things that you're trying to actually move out of your life. And if you're going to line up this enemy that we have, and we're going to target him, it's going to require a little bit of focus. And what happens in our life is we get so busy running a fast-paced life, doing all the things, managing the family, the finances, the budget, the business, all whatever it is, that we sometimes take our target off of our enemy and put it on people that we love. We take the target off of, because really what happens is, and I don't know about you, but for me, anybody that, and it's just life. It's just all of us. Anybody that would jump in the middle of where you're going, is instantly seen as negative. I want to go here. You're in my way. Get out of my way. You know what I'm saying? And whatever it is, it can be verbal, it can be mental, it can be whatever. You know, a lot of times with your wife, you know, all you want to do is just move the trampoline. But and so you go and you bring a bunch of guys over to move the trampoline, and then your wife is like, why are we moving the trampoline? And you're like, do you care why we move the trampoline? I don't know if I care if we move the trampoline. I like the trampoline where it was. But there's long trees and all the limbs and leaves fall into the trampoline, so it's just wise to move the trampoline. Well, is it level over there? I don't know. I'm going to move the trampoline to see. Well, shouldn't you check before? I should have, but now I'm here and we're moving the trampoline. Well, what if the trampoline isn't good over there? What's the sun going to be like? I don't know what the sun's going to be like. I just want to move the trampoline so that we can not jump on acorns. Oh, God, let me do this, please. Well, if you move it back, if it doesn't work, I promise. Let's just try it. You know, anybody who, it's just like any opposition to where you want to go or what you want to do is instantly met with like frustration and ah! And so a lot of times in life, we take the target and we put it on people that we love and people that we care about, and we miss the enemies in our life that would want to come and steal from our life and our marriage and ultimately steal our victories. You know what? I want to talk about three areas that there are enemies to our faith. Three enemies to our faith that we need to target if we're going to move forward. The first one that we need to target and get in our crosshairs, the first area is the world. The world. The world is an outer enemy. It's an outer enemy. And the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 12 to be careful not to conform to the pattern of the world, but be transformed in your mind and in your thinking. In other words, if you're not going to operate like the world, then there has to be work done, transformation done, effort spent. You have to manage. In other words, you can't come down to the altar and have a salvation experience and just go back and your pattern be right. You can't have a great service, even though great services sometimes align your perspective and show you your flesh. You cannot have a one-time thing. There is a pattern that must form in your life. And if you're not working this pattern, then the world's pattern is working in you. Listen, James chapter 4, verse 4 says that friendship with the world makes you an enemy to God. Let's think about that. I learned real quick in school who should be my friend and who should be my enemy. I learned real quick the guys that were a lot bigger and stronger and tougher than me, friend. How you doing, bud? Cool. Yeah, what's up? I learned real quick who was a friend and who was an enemy. But I guarantee you this, as Bible-believing Christians, we do not want God as our enemy. We don't want God as the one that says, listen, you're not on my page. You sit in my buildings. You listen to my songs. But in your heart, you're not on my page. Listen, the world is the man-centered way of living life, which longs to ignore God. It lives by selfish standards. Its motto is, get all that you can get in this life, my life. It gravitates to exciting, colorful, seductive, sweet, wonderful. If you want a picture of the world, just watch a couple hours of TV at night. And you will see the world makes wrongs look right, right look wrong, good, evil, evil, good. You find yourself giving sympathy to the thief and judging the hardworking individual. You find man's ideas to be cool, deep, and insightful, and God's laws are twisted, weird, and a joke. Church, we got to be unspotted from the world. Remember, we live in it, but we're not of it. We're peculiar people. We're strangers. We're different. And if all we want to do is be like them, then guess what? The divorce rate will be in the same in the church as it is out in the world. Our concepts will be as messed up in the church as it will be in the world. And if we're not careful, we'll bring the world into church. It's so easy to merge two completely different perspectives and not even know it. The world has an outlook, but God has an outlook. And they can never be the same. They can never be the same. The world is an outer enemy that we must target. Because I'm telling you, the world will come in and we won't even know it. We think we're doing good. We're just letting the kids watch the TV. And you know, we're managing stuff. And obviously, I'm not trying to put my head in the sand and not live in this world, but I'm just telling you, some of the shows that are on television, and I'm not trying to tell you, don't listen to this, don't do that. That's not what I'm telling you. I'm just saying that, you know, the world wants to get into your home. The world is attractive. It's alluring. And you know what? Your kids may be watching this cartoon, but what about the commercials? The commercials. Dun, dun, dun. Dun, dun. Ooh, cha, ah, ooh, 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 ah, ooh. I'm just saying that I'm not worried about the 30-minute show that your kids like. What about the 7 minutes of stuff that they have to now think about? You know, it's hurtful to me as a pastor in this church to see our families doing all they can do to raise up godly children. But we got to make sure all the fences are mended. We got to make sure that the enemy doesn't creep in another way. Because I'm just telling you, your security cannot be in a Christian school. Your security cannot be in a youth group. Your security cannot be in even a Christian family. We got to guard the world. We got to target that enemy, because it will come in and it will steal, parents, your fruit right from your tree. It'll steal, and you'll be looking over your shoulder going, what in the world? We did everything. We put them in Christian school, or we put them in Bible studies. We sent them to youth group. We went to church, and the only thing that you'll come up with is you'll blame the church, because they didn't do. What I'm telling you is, the world wants your family. The world wants dads. The world wants you. Moms, the world wants you. And you know what? If we're not careful, we'll have marriages like the world. We'll have marriages like the world. Dad goes this way, mom goes this way. There's never connection. There's never talking. There's never anything that's different. It's just like the world. It's like we got a sitcom at the house. They look exactly the same. We got to watch the world. We got to watch the world. The world has an outlook, and we got to make sure that we are tuned in to how God sees things. Certainly, I'm not talking about the people of the world. I'm talking about the philosophy. No matter what percentage you mix the truth with a lie, you don't get to keep a little truth. It all becomes a lie. Nobody likes things watered down. No one goes up to Sonic and asks for a Dr. Pepper and says, hey, before you give it to me, will you pour a little water in it? Nobody does that. Now, I'm sure, I mean, okay, great, you don't drink sodas, you're awesome. But anyway, for some of us who frequently drink one, I'm just saying, no one asks for a cup of milk and says, you know what, before you give me that milk, could you put some, like, lukewarm water in it and kind of water it down so it all goes down? It's disgusting. What I'm telling you is, we're the light of the world. We're a peculiar people. We're set up on a hill. We are a light. And if we're watered down, then we lack the potency that God would have us different. We're a different. It's different. Let us be mindful of how much the world we let in our homes. And let's stand guard and be the different kind of people that God would call us to be. It saddens me that we are now in a culture that has no moral absolutes. But if we're not careful, the believers will adopt that same concept even in the church. Remember, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Don't allow the world to corrupt and choke out your light. You are a light. You do it different. You say it different. You respond different. You are not the world. Stay vigilant. And let's target this real enemy. My second enemy of our faith is this, our flesh. And I don't want to talk about this, and you don't want to hear about it. So we'll just both be on the same page. I love when Tim talks about how he's gifted to communicate it, but not to live it. Let's just talk about our flesh. The inner enemy. We have an outer enemy, which is the world. We have an inner enemy, which is the flesh. Our human nature, and I'm not talking about skin and bones. I'm talking about the old sinful nature, the old man, the flesh. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 says, "So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature." In other words, your flesh. "For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful man. They are in conflict always with one another." Look here. You're in a war. You're in a fight. And what I'm telling you is your flesh always wants to usurp the commitment that you made to Christ. Our flesh does not want to grow. Our flesh doesn't want to come to church. It doesn't want to worship the Lord. It doesn't want to be transparent before God. It doesn't want to submit to authority. It wants to do nothing. It wants to be lazy. It wants to make excuses. It wants to always be right. That's what flesh wants to do. It wants to harbor unforgiveness, and it wants to love some self, such as our abilities, strengths, our looks, and our ideas. But 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11 says, "Beloved, I urge you, as aliens and strangers, to abstain from fleshly lust, which war against your soul." What I'm here to tell you is we have a battle with our flesh. We have a battle with our flesh. And it's a battle we have to fight daily. It's so easy to just want to give in and quit because you're trying, you're trying, you're trying. And some days are good, but most days, maybe they're not. And so you're just doing the best you can. But let me tell you this. I don't know if you heard the story about the two frogs that fell into the farmer's bucket of cream. They tried over and over again to climb out of the sides of the bucket. But each time they slipped back into the bucket, finally, one frog said, "We'll never get anywhere doing this." And he gave up, and he went down in the cream of bucket and drowned. The other frog saw the consequences of him giving up, and so he decided to keep again, over and over, trying to climb out to the side of the bucket. He would turn his legs. He would turn his legs and jump again. Finally, the frog felt something firm beneath his feet, and the cream had turned to butter, and he jumped on top of it and jumped out. All of his kicking had turned that cream into butter. And listen, he never gave up. He never quit. That's persistence. And we must fight the good fight of faith. We must fight the good fight of faith like a soldier. This enemy would love for us to slip up and disqualify ourselves because we are focused on the flesh of others rather than targeting our own. And let me tell you, we're good at targeting the flesh of others. We can get that dude in our crosshairs. "Oh, I don't like that response. I don't like that this. I don't like the way you handled that. I don't like the way you did this. I don't like the way you treated me. I don't like the..." And we are really good at targeting everybody else's flesh. Come on, are we good at that? We hear this talked about with the speck in someone else's eye, but the log in ours. And if we're not careful, we will get so busy in life that anybody that tries to deter us, stand in our way, don't go with our decisions, we will view them and look at them as an enemy, and we will target the wrong person. But here's the thing. When you target the wrong person, families get destroyed, friendships break, relationships go apart. And what I'm telling you is we got to make very sure that we are targeting this right enemy, and this right enemy is our own flesh. Flesh. We want to be right. We want to have the last word. We want to argue. We want everyone to see it from our point of view and our perspective. But I want to tell you that you can fight this flesh. Your flesh has a nature. And without an active presence of God moving in your life, you will naturally revert back to a fleshly person. Here's the way I see it. The law of gravity is in effect. The law of gravity keeps everybody down. But you can fly. And when you fly, there's another law that happens. It's the law of thrust and lift. And when that law is in effect, you can actually, which all of you know this, you can actually go through gravity and you fly through the air when gravity would be pushing you down. This plane is soaring. But as soon as you cut off the fuel, gravity instantly comes right back. Whoa! You're going down. You know what I'm saying? At that time, you're wishing you would have listened to the little stewardess that said, if you do have a problem, you know what I'm saying? At that time, you... Because there's a law that's in effect, and it's actually fighting against the law of gravity that would keep you down. And when you got saved, you entered into a different type of plane. When you made Jesus the Lord of your life, you applied the blood which severed that sin that would keep you grounded, and you started to soar. But I'm telling you, if you get into a position in life where you no longer pray, praying's overrated. Or you would never say that, because we're all good Bible-going Christians. We believe God. We understand that it's important to pray. I just don't ever have time. We know that it's important to pray. It's just that, you know what? That's just, I think my time could be used more productively. Or we're such in a situation, which this would be really terrible, that we really don't need prayer, because you know what? Financially, we're okay. Our family's kind of okay. Our marriage is, well, it's maybe not great, but you know what? It's not terrible. Our kids aren't doing drugs and having sex. So really, I am a much higher than the average of this world. Didn't Jesus have the same problem with the disciples? He in his greatest moment, when he was going and he was lamenting before God, and he was saying, God, if this cup, didn't he tell his disciples, watch and pray with me. Pray with me. Stay with me. Pray right here. I'm going to go in. But here's the thing. They had never worked that discipline into their life. Up to that time, it was Jesus that was the catalyst of their faith. So they never had to prevail in prayer. They never had to really get deep in prayer, because Jesus was the one that said, don't think that. Where's your faith? You are acting like Satan. And Peter, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. And so in that moment when Jesus wasn't there, they couldn't pray. They didn't understand the value of prayer. And so Jesus came back, and what did he say? Guys, can't you stay awake an hour? Lest you enter into temptation? Lest you fall? But that discipline had not been cultivated yet in their life. And what I'm telling you is, in our life, we have a real enemy, and the flesh. Man, you know what? Everybody judges the flesh. It is so amazing to me. No matter how many good things you do, people remember the one thing that was bad. Is that right? Come on, in all of our life, they don't know how much you've given, what you've done. You paid for people to come to Christian school. You paid for people to go to camps. You have put groceries on the doorsteps of people, and they never even knew. But that one thing has just marked you. That one comment that you made, that one moment of frustration, that one thing that you did, and I'll forgive you, but I'll remember. I will forgive you, but I will remember. And it's so, if we're not careful, if we don't target this enemy of our flesh, then you know what? It'll rob us of advancement. It'll rob us of opportunity. It'll rob us of blessing. It'll rob us of favor with man. It'll rob us, because you know what? We've got to control. We've got to fight that flesh within us. And there's ways to do that. We go to prayer. We go into prayer, and we have quality prayer. Not, now I lay me down and sleep, pray the Lord my soul to keep it. If I die before I wake, God, I'm going to take it. Yeah. Bam. Rub-a-dub-dub, thank you for the grub. Yeah, God. Holla at your boy. quality, real prayer is the thing that keeps your plane up and you going through gravity and you being able to soar and you being able to allow your spirit to come alive. Are you hearing me? It's not enough to hear a few sermons on your flesh, because here's what will happen. In your life, the church cannot be the only avenue of keeping you in check and keeping you, because here's the thing. We can put our kids in the right environments and we cannot have cable and we cannot have this, but ultimately right now, parents, you are the ones that are keeping your child on the straight and narrow. But at some point in time, it's got to be their faith. And I'm telling you, flesh has a lot of casualties. Because your Christianity is not rated on Sunday morning and Wednesday night. It's rated on Tuesday night. It's rated on Wednesday. It's rated on Thursday morning when you're rushing out for school. It's rated with your colleagues. It's rated. That's when it's rated. That's when your Christianity is rated. When your son sees you talking to mom, or mom sees you talking to that's when I make my concept and I see what's there. It's not when people are watching. It's when your family's watching. And they see you at the family reunion. Or they watch you handle a business deal. We've got to control our flesh. And let me say this, and I know that we all know this, but our enemy is not our parents. It's not our friends. It's not our boss. It's not our lack. It's not our health. It's not our relationships. What is keeping you from moving forward? Is your flesh running rampant? Is it destroying your relationships? Is it hurting your home? Is it stopping your career move? Is your flesh under control? Are you warring against this? Are you fighting it? The last one that we have to target is Satan. We have an enemy that would come and steal, kill, and destroy. And we've got to remember, and I know that we all know this today, but if we don't look at the world, if we don't look at our flesh, and if we don't look at Satan, then what will happen is we will deteriorate. And we will think we are in a place that we're not. Satan is the persistent enemy. As a young believer, I was looking to blame Satan for every one of my problems. The devil made me do it. You know what I'm saying? Who? But why'd you do that? The devil. It was the devil. But I'll tell you this. Satan would love nothing more to see you fail and see you disqualify yourself. Ultimately, he is hoping that you disqualify yourself. And he will wait, because if you do it at 25 or you do it at 65, it don't matter to him. He is looking for you to disqualify yourself. Satan is the commander of the large host of demons who have rejected God and made it their assignment to defeat any believer who accepts the Lord Jesus as Savior and King. The Bible describes Satan as a deceiver, a liar, a murderer, an accuser, and a tempter. His attacks are personal, intelligent, destructive, and subtle. He's never letting you know when he's coming. The whole days of the pitchfork and the horns, where he walks in and says, "Hey, I'm the devil, I'm going to ruin your life. Is that okay?" The Bible says that he can disguise himself as an angel of light. Have you ever thought that you had a really, really good handle on a certain perspective only to find out that you were dead wrong? The enemy can deceive. Satan loves to accuse. That's why it's so important for us to understand the outward struggle and the inward struggle, because he wants to accuse you, so that he can lure you into doing something forbidden, so that he can disqualify you and bring your name before the throne of God and say, "See, he is not who he says he is." But what I want you to see is I want you to see how God handles us, how God loves us, how God cares for us. Here's the thing. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, this is the story of Adam and Eve. And Adam and Eve were in the garden. They were in a perfect place. God had set them up for blessing, prosperity in every area of their life. There was no lack in their life. They were in a position where they could only move forward. They would have sons and daughters, and out of that would come society, family, nation, all of this. They would be the rulers of the free world. They were set up to move forward. But the enemy comes and tries to distort. And we see here that the enemy tries to bring in another worldly concept. He tries to promote the flesh in Eve. And then he tries to seduce mankind from doing what God has called him to do. And so here's what happens. Adam and Eve ate the fruit, the forbidden fruit. And instantly their eyes were opened and they knew that they were naked. And hearing God walk in the garden, they were afraid. They were scared and they started to hide because you know what? This can't be in God's presence. God doesn't want this. This isn't something that I need to be. And many of us come to church all the time. And you know what? At different points in our life where you know what? We've had a little dose of flesh. Maybe you've had a little dose of word, of the world. Maybe you're under attack right now in your family. And you know what? You feel like you want to hide from the presence of God. And so the worship goes and it's kind of like a song and a dance. It's karaoke music. It's not something that brings you into the throne of God. It's just, it's kind of hiding. And you hear the word and you laugh at the funny parts or you make eye contact when the preacher makes eye contact with you. But really, there's nothing in your heart that desires or longs for a connection with mighty God. And we hide because of what we've done, because of how we've acted, because of our response, because of all these things. And we get discouraged. But what was God's response when he walked in? He said, Adam, where are you? And Adam's response was, I'm hiding because I'm naked. I thought you would be mad at me. And God said, who told you that you were naked? And what was God's response? He brought man out of hiding. He brought man out of his confusion. And he clothed man. And he redeemed man. And he brought man back in. And what I'm telling you is maybe you had a bad week last week. Maybe you had a week that wasn't your best. Maybe flesh has been ruling in your life. But you can know this. God wants to draw you back in to a relationship with him, and he loves you and he cares about you and he wants you to be where you are designed to be, where God provided a way for you to be. He sent his son so that you could be there. And what I'm telling you is if we don't target the enemy, we will target the wrong people in our life and we will stay hid from the very presence of God that can bring us the joy, fulfillment, and happiness that we need. Can I get an amen? Where are you at today? Is your flesh feel like it's disqualified you from even being in this room? And what I want to tell you today is it probably has, but we have a great Redeemer that his blood once applied into our life and we ask forgiveness of sins, then we are restored. Target the right thing. Church, God has done so many wonderful things for us this year. But even with all this said, and even with all the great things, you are going to have to fight because either you fight back the power of darkness or it takes your territory. There are no neutral grounds. You cannot be Switzerland. Either you're fighting or you're not. Bottom line, James chapter 4, verse 7 says, submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Come on, that should produce some joy in your heart. That should be able to take off the struggles of inferiority. If you come near to God, God will come near to you. Wash your hands. Listen to this. you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. There is a real fight going on for who you'll serve. And this has to be managed. You can't just come to the altar one time and accept Christ and be done. The death on the cross was for your ransom. But you can still be beat up by these enemies, the world, the flesh, and Satan. We got to target the real enemy. We got to target the real enemy. What enemy in your life is destroying life? All you want to do is move forward, but you can't. Because this enemy of flesh and whatever it is, you can't, I got to spend it, I got to go, I got to have the last word, I got to do this, and flesh and flesh and flesh and whatever it is, we all fight it. It wars. But greater is he that is in me. Come on, help me. You are not alone. And you are not left in your sin. Today, could God call you out of hiding? Could he call you out of hiding? Could he say, hey, sir, I still love you. And I know exactly what I'm getting. And I still love you. Ma'am, I still love you. You are significant. There is something great in you. God has something great in for you to do. Your life has purpose and meaning. Who are you targeting? Are you targeting your husband? If he would just give me what I need, then I would be happy. It's not like that. Who are you targeting? Your wife? If she just does these things that aren't foolish, then we'll be good. Are you targeting your kids? I thought you were going to make me happy, but all you are is a stress in my life. Are you targeting your friends who speak truth into your life and you get mad at them and you don't want to be around them anymore? Are you targeting your employer? Are you... Do we all do this? Come on, do we all do this? Here's what I want to tell you. God loves you. And we got to target the enemy. And let's take our target off of this one person. And let's put it on the world. And let's fight other people in our life like we fight the world. Let's fight our flesh like we fight other people. Let's fight the enemy. I believe that some families, you may be going through a spiritual attack right now. Come on, we're about to do battle right now. You are not defeated. God has great things for you. Don't you dare give up. Keep praying. It's going to happen. This thing that's in your heart, this thing that you feel that you're frustrated about, don't make it an idol. Your flesh, come on, many of you. Oh, how many times do you sit a day going, why did I do that? How many times a day do you, just want to punch yourself in the face? How many of y'all ever want to punch yourself in the face? Be honest, don't lie. Absolutely, all of you didn't raise your hand, you a liar. Go on and get saved. Lying in church. Go straight down for that. Look here. We all battle these things. And listen, because we all battle it, let's do a few things as a church. Let's give a little grace. Let's give a little grace. Come on, let's extend grace instead of the target. Instead of the put you in my crosshairs. Let's give a little grace. Come on, right now, what's holding you back from moving forward? Is it your flesh? You would have already been there. You would have already had that raise. You would have already had that promotion if you could keep your mouth shut. You would have already been. Your marriage would be totally different if you could just. Come on, we got to target the real enemy. We got to target, and that's what we're going to do in this church. I have this. In the bulletin, I have a Give God Glory. I want you to look at that just real quick. Excuse me, son. Give God Glory. Here's the thing. I don't know when, but I know that that building is almost done. And I know that this year is almost over. Will you have moved or will you have talked about moving? Here is a vision that I got. Wouldn't it be awesome in our first day in this new sanctuary? Because Tim has been talking about how that building is an outward manifestation of what's going on in our hearts and in our lives and in our world, our finances, our marriage, our kids, our whatever. But here's the thing. How sad would it be to have a great building and no testimonies? How sad would it be for us to rejoice because we got something a little bit more comfortable to sit in, but in our heart, we stayed the same place, and we've been there since 2007. We've been there since 07. We've been there since 08. We've been there since 09. Come on. I believe that God wants us to target these areas that would hold us back. And you know what? Over the next week, over the next 2 weeks, as God starts to show us and we start battling these areas in prayer, reading the word, we're going to give God glory. And we're going to write these things down. And here's what I'm asking you to do. Because when we go in on our first day, I'd like to have big cork boards. And I'd like to have these all up. So when that building is done, these are all there. They're all there. I'm giving God glory. Because you know what? My marriage was on the brink of divorce. God changed it. I'm giving God glory because my son got saved. I'm giving God glory because I got out of debt. I'm giving God glory because I was able to. I'm giving God glory because you know what? I've been fighting the enemy in my life. I'm giving God glory. I'm giving God glory. And here's what I want you to do. Over the next couple weeks, when you come down to give your offering, just put these in the bucket. Just put them in the bucket. And you know what? When we get over there, whenever that time is, it's going to be so awesome to see all that God has done. But it won't happen unless we target the enemy. Amen? You guys stand up with me real quick. Jason, if you will. Here's what I want to say. Many of you may be discouraged right now in your faith. Your flesh went in and gone, acted up. Made a fool of yourself, fool in front of your family, said some things that you didn't need to say, just responded out of that old nature, that old man. Maybe the world is more attractive to you than the things of God. You live for the movie, the download, the song, the this, and that's more of an anthem in your life than Christ. Maybe the enemy is coming and attacking your family and you're doing all you can to fight it. What I want to tell you today is this, that God loves you and he will pick the hider and he will call your name and he will say, I love you. I care about you. I want to clothe you. I want to cover your sin. I want to cover you. I want to restore you. I want to promote you. And I want life to come from you. That's what he did. That's what he did with Adam and Eve.
We hope you've been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. If you are interested in more information about other messages by the pastors of Christian Ministries Church, please log on to our webpage at www.cmchurch.com. You can visit our online store, or you can download messages free from our podcast link.